Well, there are a lot of myths out there about leadership, right? You know, some would say that to be a truly great leader and accomplish the remarkable or the impossible, one has to be ruthless and cutthroat. One has to do whatever it takes to win, even if that means cheating a little bit or cutting some corners to get ahead. But you know, when I think about leaders who operate out of these kind of negative spaces, I'm not real inspired. You know what I mean? When I think of people who I think of that I see as truly exhibiting great leadership, I always see these attributes, these principles that line up with the character and the leadership of Jesus. For example, there was an NFL coach in 2006 named Tony Dungy. If you are like me and you don't follow sports, you have no idea who I'm talking about. If you're a football fan, you're like, yeah, everybody knows this guy, right? Well, Tony Dungy in 2006 led the Colts to a Super Bowl championship, and I know about him because I remember being amazed as I learned more about this man and how he led. He had a deep faith, and he had this unique leadership value and style that he did within the NFL. While many other NFL coaches would lead with yelling and fear-driven motivation and being intense and intimidating, Tony was known for leading very different. He led from a place of love and respect and trust. He never cursed at his players. He never belittled them. Instead, he treated everyone on the team, from the most famous to the bench warmer, he treated them with love and respect, and he treated them as a whole person, not just a player. His players knew that he loved them, each of them, and wanted the best for them, not just on the field but off. In this posture of leading with love, inspired them and made them want to give their best, and it led them to achieve the greatest success that they could as a team. You see, friends, love is the foundation of truly great leadership. And as we move through this series, learning to lead like Jesus, we have to start on a solid foundation. And so in week one, we heard about Jesus and how we are to emulate him. And week two, last week, we talked about discerning and prayer. And this week, we lean into love, because love is the key ingredient. And when it comes to this ingredient, there is no other substitute in the kitchen for this recipe. Love is it. Now, sure, you can still lead without love, but it won't be leading like Jesus, right? And you won't ever actually be truly, truly great at it. You might be effective, you might even accomplish some success, but without love, you will always hit a limit. This is why we hear what the Apostle Paul says: if I speak in tongues of angels, if I do these amazing things, but I don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You see, leadership always hits a limit without love. Sure, there are plenty of powerful people throughout history that have done impressive things, but doesn't love always seem to be the distinguishing factor with those who are remembered well, making the world a better place, that defines their legacy? I mean, the trail of history is littered with the broken legacies of evil men who were maybe extremely effective leaders for a time, but they were utterly void of love. And what history teaches us is that when leadership and power come together without love, often bad things happen. Leadership without love is empty. You know, people often think that great leadership and love are incompatible, but that's a fallacy. They're actually inseparable. They're inseparable. I mean, think about it. Truly great leaders, those that we look to and want to aspire to emulate and follow in their footsteps, the common thread is always love. I think of people like Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa and Desmond Tutu, Harriet Tubman, Oscar Romero, and the list could go on, right? But here's the thing. It's not just religious leaders. During my sabbatical a couple of years ago, I dove in and studied the Jim Collins classic book, Good to Great, and I was amazed to learn what he and his team learned as well, that truly great leaders, even in the business world, what he called level 5 leaders, exhibited over and over and over again, without exception, humility and love for their people. Through the challenges of leadership, the ones who truly made that lasting impact, they carried this deep sense of resolve. They wouldn't give up, but it was mixed with this sense of humility and love for all the people that worked for them. You know, here's why I think we buy the lie that, leadership and love are incompatible. Because we sometimes think that love is the same as nice. Those words aren't synonyms, are they? I mean, think about it. Love can often lead to nice, but these words don't mean the same thing. If you don't believe me, you can go back in time and ask my 16-year-old self, because 16-year-old Josh, I knew that my father loved me deeply. I knew that my dad would do anything for me, that he would protect me. I knew that his love was unwavering. But friends, when I got my first speeding ticket when I was 16, my dad's response was not something that anyone would ever describe as nice. But it was filled with love, right? And we see that with Jesus and the disciples. He loves them fully, but he challenges them regularly. He corrects them all the time. To truly love someone means loving them enough to be honest with them, loving them enough to tell them the truth, even when it's hard to hear. It means loving them enough to protect them and correct them if they're going the wrong way. You know, for followers of Jesus, love is not just a feeling. It's a choice. It's not accidental. It's intentional. And so I want to look closer today at these two key commands in Scripture we heard read that God gives us about love. First, we go to Leviticus chapter 19. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I picked this for today because I know Leviticus is everyone's favorite book of the Bible, right? Well, for all of its dryness and difficulty to understand, I actually have a deep appreciation for Leviticus. When you think about the time and the context in which this was written, the culture it was originally given to, there's a lot of stuff here that's truly remarkable. And if it's interpreted correctly through the lens of Jesus, as Martin Luther teaches us, it still holds a lot of relevance for today. For example, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it sounds clear, right? But just like my 16-year-old self wanted to find loopholes in mom and dad's rules all the time, God's people, even us today, want to find loopholes in God's command to love. So God lays out a whole bunch of what if, scenarios, examples, says things like, don't reap the entire harvest of your field. Why? Because you need to also love the poor and the alien who are among you. That's loving your neighbor. God says, don't steal, don't. And that also means don't lie. That also means don't deal falsely or shady with people. And certainly don't do that in my name. That's not love. It continues on, don't go around as a slanderer. Don't stand idly by while your neighbor is being harmed and say, well, I didn't do it. That's not loving your neighbor. It goes on and says, when an alien resides in your land, don't oppress the alien. They shall be as one native born. You shall love the alien as yourself. Why? Because you were once aliens in Egypt, and I loved you. See, God has called and chosen these people. God has blessed them to be a blessing to others, to be a representation of God's love and reign and leadership on this earth. Now, a couple incredible things that we learn about God's love here that I want to point out. First is this. You see that this command that God gives to love, it goes beyond just my family. It goes beyond just my tribe, beyond just my people. God's love is expansive. God's love goes out to all. The second thing that is amazing here to me is this. Notice this kind of love, it's not really our natural instinct, is it? It's not our go-to move. It's an intentional choice, something we have to practice. God's saying, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to lead the world in the ways of my ways, then you need to learn to love like I love. And God's love has eyes to see the unloved. God's love cares for the poor. God's love sees the overlooked. God's love remembers the forgotten. And if you fast forward to Jesus, centuries later, Jesus takes this command to love, and he takes it to the next level. Did you catch that? In Leviticus, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus ups the ante. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And how has Jesus loved us? Well, he loves us fully. He gave everything for you. He gave his life for you. He loved the disciples enough to tell them the truth even when it was hard, to challenge them, to help them to grow, to love them too much to let them stay right where they were. He loved those disciples enough to sit at the table with them even with Judas and kneel down and wash his feet, the one who would betray him, and look up at him with love and say, I love you. Don't tell me that love and leadership are incompatible. They're inseparable. Because with that act of love, Jesus disarmed the power of violence. Jesus broke the cycles of vengeance. He created a movement of leading with love that continues to change the world today. And this movement of love is something our world needs now in this moment as much as ever. God is calling the church to lead the way in love. Love is the defining factor that makes all the difference in leading like Jesus or just playing around with power and influence. God's people should be leading in the ways of love, the way of Jesus, leading in the way of reconciliation, leading in the way of forgiveness, of mercy, leading in the way of understanding and compassion and hope, leading in the ways of peacemaking. The world is starving for people who will lead like Jesus, who will lead with love. Not just a love for me and mine, but a love for everyone. Not just a love for those who deserve it, but a love especially needed for those who don't. Notice, I want to point out some clarity about some words I use today. Notice I'm using the word leading and not fighting. You know, as followers of Jesus, we sometimes hear this, but friends, there is no fight to win. If leadership were about, think about it this way, if leadership were some sort of fight for God's beloved children to fight and win, then the logical conclusion of that thinking is that other human beings who are also God's beloved children become what? Losers. Is that something God wants for any of us? You see the problem with the word fight? We lead with love. There is no fight to win. There are only other beloved children to love. And so far, here's what we have learned these few weeks together about leading like Jesus. We've learned that we are called to emulate Jesus. We've learned that Jesus calls us to his rhythms of prayer and discernment. And then this week we learn that we're called to love like Jesus. So this week I want to invite you to enter into the biblical story, the story of Jesus. I want to encourage you to look deeply at Luke chapters 5, 6, and 7. Take some time to dwell in the story. Use your imagination. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? How do you see Jesus' invitation to follow and emulate him? What do you notice about his rhythms of prayer and discernment? What do you notice about how he loves people and how he leads? And then how do you compare that to what we see in the world around us? How does that compare to what's going on in your heart right now? You know, what is Jesus inviting you to do? What is Jesus inviting and saying to you? How is Jesus trying to help you to lead like him in this moment, in this place, wherever you can, whenever you can? Let us pray. God, I give you thanks that you have sent us Jesus, your son, to love in a way that we can scarcely fathom, to love beyond our hurts, to love beyond our our frustrations, to love even when we don't deserve it. God, help us to learn to live like him, to lead like him. Transform our hearts, open our minds and our eyes that we might see your goodness and mercy all around us. And Lord, form us into your people. May your church be first in leading the way, in the ways of your love and mercy and